All right. Well, as you can tell from your study sheet, you can wipe the food off of it. We're going to be talking about Thanksgiving, thankfulness, gratitude, that kind of stuff. And it's my prayer that we'll leave and we'll just be lifted and energized and filled with more gratitude than when we came in tonight. First of all, before I forget, next week we're not meeting in here because on Tuesday we have the Thanksgiving service. I think it's at 6:30. Does that sound right? Okay, cool. 6:30 on Tuesday, Thanksgiving service, and it's also communion, so prepare for that. And so next Wednesday we won't be meeting here. And if you, if you're not a Facebooker, and if you didn't get an email like reminding you about the food tonight, be sure to put your email on the attendance sheet, and then I'll try to get you onto the list. So I had a couple people comment that they're glad they got that. So I'm not on the Facebook, so the old slow email is the way I go. So put that on there if you want to get an email for announcements. All right, so see if this sounds at all like you, and if you can relate to this, that you feel like lately maybe your energy level hasn't been what you what you had hoped it would be. Maybe you feel like you're burning out, like you're about at the end of your rope, like you're just about to give up. Maybe you're brought down by cares and hardships and things going on around you. Maybe not depressed, maybe you are, but just feeling down, again, like the weight of the world. And maybe things that were a privilege for you now have become a burden. I think of like our family. And I mean, 10 years ago, if someone would say, "You're going to have a great family, everybody's going to be healthy," I'd be super excited about that. But sometimes it starts to feel like a burden. And man, I don't want that. Sometimes a job, I'm thankful for my job, but sometimes right now it's really busy and I feel like, you know, it's starting to whip me instead of me whipping the job. And same thing, maybe what you have going on here at this place, whether you're being discipled or you're in MTT, I know there's test coming up, right? I've heard a couple people talking about that. I think they try to fail the bottom couple of people just to make an example of them in that. So just, you don't want to be at the bottom, but I'm kidding. Or maybe you're in LFBI. I know there's a lot of work there. And we can just tend to get things that ought to be a privilege, a blessing, a life-giving thing, can tend to just drain us and bring us down. So, that has happened to me too. And so, this was really good for me to go over Thanksgiving and gratitude. So I hope that it'll lift you guys up too. Let's go to God's Word and Luke 7:36. If you would turn there. It's going to be two places to turn tonight, so wipe your hands on your pants and turn there. Luke 7:36. Actually, before that, I think this might be in the PowerPoint. And our life isn't supposed to be burdened down like that. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So we should not be living lives that... I mean, we should be busy, we should be working our tail off, but we should not be burdened down and, you know, under that kind of a burden. Jesus wants to take our burden and give us His. And 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. He wants to carry your burdens, not have you bogged down like that. So, and let's go to His Word tonight. Let's learn from Him, and hopefully we'll leave here with a burden lifted and actually hearts full of gratitude and thanks. So Luke 7:36 is a familiar story. One of the Pharisees desired him, Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. So we have two people in this story that are contrasting. Simon, who is the Pharisee, we're going to see that's his name. He had a nice house, large enough to throw a party in. He was wealthy enough to feed everyone. He was respected of men. He was good at his job. He was a Pharisee. He was outwardly clean and proud of it. And he was, you know, good. He kept the law as best as he could. And these things, this party, everything in his life, it seems to be all about him and building himself up. And then contrast that with this woman. It says that she's a sinner. That would be understood that she had moral failure. She would have had her heart broken by men who would use her. She would be seen as damaged goods. She was crying. She was a mess emotionally. And she took her money and she bought some ointment and used it and poured it out on Jesus' feet. And she used her hair, which was her glory, to wipe Jesus' feet. And she was kissing His dirty feet too. And if we just contrast those two, it's crazy. And Simon, that when she's doing this, it's making him uncomfortable. And I don't know if you're like me. Well, let's keep reading. I'm sorry. And Jesus answered and said, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. And he said, Master, say on. And Jesus said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said, Simon, see this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You didn't give me any kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say to thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. We see this connection between being forgiven much and loving much. Being forgiven much and being very grateful. And we give the Pharisees a hard time, but in this story, if I'm honest, I see a lot of myself in him. And I think about new Christians, especially who are so on fire for God, that are grateful, that maybe have nothing, but their heart is just so full of gratitude. And here I'm, my old, crusty, dry heart. And when I'm around them, I realize, oh, I need that. And I see that in this story. And one of the characteristics of our day is unthankfulness. We all know the verse, this isn't on the PowerPoint, 2 Timothy 3:1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And it lists these things that men are, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. And in that list is unthankful. So what do we do? How do we get out of this funk and become filled with gratitude? I saw this short video that hopefully it'll play, and it just, it ties in, I think, really well with this. It's just 2.5 minutes, and the second half, you'll see how it ties in. But I hope this will be a good illustration.
To basketball, to track, to breakdance. That's what I did. It was the middle of the breakdance phenomenon, and I practiced like a fool.
Did you have a crew?
Oh, yeah, I had a crew. It was all good. We were called the Big Man Breakers. Real original.
The Big Man Breakers.
Real original. We were all pretty big.
So, oh, that's great. Well, yeah, what year is this? It's like...
Oh, this was 86, 84. I mean, this is at the height. Like, you know,
Electric
Boogaloo. Beat Street, it was hot.
The beat, yeah.
Yeah, it was hot.
Really? And did you just like do cardboard down and lay it down?
We had cardboard in the basement, man, and I would practice spinning on my head for hours. I mean, no girlfriends, nobody would even get near us.
Really?
Like they're spinning, could they stop spinning? You know, we want to see some sprints right now.
Yeah.
Please stop spinning.
Did you have a go-to move?
I had the go-to move, which was the robot. Now, I have the best robot of all time. But you see, there's just the little touches. That's all you gotta do.
No, I love that. You do so much energy and so positive. How do you stay so positive? And
you know what? The key to energy, I get that asked a lot. I get that asked me a lot. But the key to energy is gratitude. It's truly, truly gratitude. So, you know, the more thankful you are, the more energy you get. Have you ever? I've been where I was ungrateful, and you literally feel the energy being sapped from you. You know what I mean? But once you find one thing to be grateful for, all of a sudden you get the energy to do things. I'm from Flint, Michigan. I am a statistic that didn't go by the statistics, because a lot of my friends are in jail, a lot of my friends have died, a lot of my friends are no longer here, and I look, here I am in front of the whole world all the time doing what I love, which is amazing. You just feel the energy. I feel happy. I feel joy. And that's for you too. Anybody in the world can find it.
I'm going to seem super dry compared to that. But that's true. But the thing that stood out to me when I saw that was the phrase where he says, the key to energy is gratitude. And the more thankful you are, the more energy you get. And really, that just rang really true. That when I'm down and out, it's because I've forgotten all that I have to be grateful for. And so we're just going to take a couple minutes. If you would turn to Psalm 136, this is the second place you got to turn. Psalm 136, which uses the phrase in this psalm a lot. It says, "Oh, give thanks." So it's all about giving thanks to God. And we can get a little clue of why we are to be thankful when we look in Psalm 136. And let's see if we can't leave here, again, being energized by gratitude. Psalm 136, we'll start in verse 1. It says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." So your first blank, A, is why do we give thanks? Because of who God is. And in this, in verse 1, it says, "unto the Lord," and it uses capital L-O-R-D. And we know that that is the rendering of Jehovah, which means the self-existent one, the God who has no beginning and no end. And it says that Jehovah is good and merciful. So who God is, He's all-powerful, He's self-existing, and He is good. He's a good father who wants to give good things to His children. He is love. 1 John says that God is love, and He loves us. He knows everything about you, and He knows every need that you have. He is light, He is holy, and He has your best intentions and plans. He has your best intentions on His mind, and His plans for you are good. And He is merciful. He doesn't want to give you what you deserve. God is so good. And Almighty God, that is His character. Verse 2, it says, "O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever." So not only is He the self-existing Jehovah, but He's the God of gods. And the Bible uses lowercase gods, G-O-D-S, like talking about Satan being the god of this world. Well, God is the God of gods. And He is more powerful than Satan and his angels. Thank God that He is going to win in the end. When we see the end of the story, God is greater than the devil and all his angels. And I like this quote that says, "Everything will be all right in the end. And if everything is not all right, then it is not yet the end." And we know that God is going to win in the end. That is something to be thankful about. And verse 3, "O give thanks unto the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." And lords oftentimes are used to describe leaders, world leaders, and kings, presidents, rulers of the nations. And God is not surprised by current events. And He's not scared. God uses rulers of this world to accomplish His plan in the world. I love this verse. Proverbs 21:1 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord." It doesn't matter if it's a good king or a wicked king. God has the king's hand in his heart. And it says, "As the rivers of water, He turneth it whithersoever He will." And that's very comforting to me. God can use any ruler. The ruler's heart is in His hand. And just like a river of water turns, God can turn that ruler, that king, that president, whoever. And that allows us to just chill a little bit. One thing I hear on the news a lot lately is the word fear. And, you know, fear of the future, fear of what might happen. And we don't know what will happen. But one thing we do know is that we don't need to be afraid. 2 Timothy 1:7, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of sound mind." I know that's an old, familiar verse. You may even know the song about that from back in the day. But every time I hear that, it's like just a calm comes over me. I realize, yeah, God does not want me to be afraid. And we know from the next chapter in 2 Timothy that God says, "Pray for those in authority over you." And the great thing about praying for others, like we were doing tonight with prayer requests, if you think about the awesome privilege to come before God's throne, and then think about what a caring thing that is to, when you get before God, to say, "Thank you for listening to what I have to say. I don't want to take this time right now to talk about all the things that I want, but I have a friend that I'd like to talk to you about." And that is the most caring thing we can do, to bring somebody else before God's throne. And He wants to answer those kind of prayers. So whether it's a friend that's hurting, or the president, or a ruler of the world, we are to pray for all of them. And moving on, we're not going to read all these verses in this chapter, but let's see, part B. We can give thanks because He's in control of our surrounding. He's in control of our surrounding. And verses 4 through 8 just talk about how God made the whole world and how He keeps everything in His power. We just had the super moon. I don't know if you saw it, but it was pretty cool. A little bit bigger than normal. But when I look at the moon, I'm just amazed that such a large, perfectly round rock is spinning at the perfect speed and distance from Earth, and that it is set in, you know, like I said, at the perfect speed, that if it were faster, it would spin off into space, and if it were any slower, it would crash into us. To me, that speaks of God's awesome power. And it goes without saying that if God can do that, that's just one thing that he's done. If he can do that, he can control. He has everything in our world under his control, and we don't need to fear. And that is cool. Part C, we can give thanks because God has given us victories in our past. Verses 10 through 24 talk about how God brought Israel out of Egypt, out from Pharaoh's rule and into the promised land, and how he defeated kings on their way. And for us, and we've been brought out of our sin. That's our past. We were stuck in sin, dead in sin, and God brought us out. We used to be slaves to the devil, to the world, to our own flesh. We had habits that we couldn't break, and it was just dark. And God brought us out. I'm so thankful that that's our past, but not our present. Part D, we give thanks because he provides our necessities for today. Verses 25 and 26, I'll read these. It says, God, who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endures forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. So like we were talking about earlier, there's a lot of fear. And I've, you know, heard say, like, my greatest fear is that the economy will crash, and my kids will be starving, I won't be able to take care of them, and I can understand that fear, but, man, Psalm 37:25, David says, I've been young, and now I'm old, but I have never, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. David said, I've never seen a righteous person begging. God always provides. And I think about stories in third world countries of believers that have nothing, and they pray, and God comes through for them. And we have so much. Like, we should not fear, you know, where our next meal is going to come from. In Matthew 6:30-32, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And God provides everything we need for our daily bread. And part E, we give thanks because he's taken care of our future. And I think this is where the most of our energy, our gratitude should come from when we think about our future. I am thankful for eternal life. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, but thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Words cannot describe how great the gift of God is. And what is that gift of God? Romans 6:23 says, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Think about that. You will never die. You will live forever. Eternal life. That is something to be grateful about. I am thankful for that I have a lively hope that just like Christ was raised from the dead, he promises to raise me from the dead. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And lastly, I'm thankful for an inheritance that's reserved in heaven forever. I don't know what will happen to the economy. I don't know what will happen to your 401k. But I do know that we have an inheritance that is reserved in heaven for us, that doesn't fade away. 1 Peter 1:4, it's incorruptible, it's undefiled, and it does never fade away. 1,000 years from now, our eternal inheritance is still going to be there. And Jesus said in John 14 to his disciples, when they were fearful because he was going to leave them, he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Jesus wants and is excited to spend eternity with us, to take us with him. And that is an awesome hope. Man, that our sins are forgiven, that we have eternal life, that we have a home in heaven forever with him. That ought to fill us with a huge amount of gratitude. And so, in conclusion, and God says, don't be careful for anything. Philippians 4:6, but in everything, pray, make supplication with thanksgiving, and let your requests be made known to God. So thank God. Let your requests be made known to him. Come to his presence, and with thanksgiving and with your requests. And lastly, Psalm 79, verse 13 says, "So we, thy people, and sheep of thy pasture, will give thee thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generations." We live in a very unthankful world, as we saw at the beginning. And it's easy for us to even become that way. But when you're full of gratitude, like Terry Crews, I mean, how does that stand out? People just look at that like, what's up with that guy? And I want that for me. I want to have that joy that's just welling up, a spring of life within me of gratitude. And when I think about all that God's done for me, how can I not be filled with gratitude? And so I want my words. This next week, we're coming up on Thanksgiving. Let's make a conscious effort to, at work, to give God glory, and with all that we have to be thankful for. And I think that that will help our light shine in a world that's very unthankful. So let's pray and get into our questions. Lord, thank you for your awesome word. Thank you for all the blessings that you've given us and the joy that you put in our heart for eternal life, for freedom from sin and a family of fellow Christians who are your children and that will live forever with you. We have so much to be thankful for, and I just pray that as we go out in the next week especially, that we would shine as lights and that our gratitude would be made known and that we would give you the glory, that we would let people know that you are the reason that we are so filled with joy and gratitude. We love you so much, God. In Jesus' name, amen.